years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead.
Okay. Oh, okay, I can hear you now. All right, hold on. Let me start the show now, because it just is hearing my voice only. Let me get on here. Okay, well, today we have, let me bring Johnny up. And I think, there he is. Okay, we have Johnny on with us. All right, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. And as promised, I have Johnny, is it Cerucci? Perfect, okay. Johnny Cerucci with me, the author of... let's see, Secret History and other books.
Tears of Children, Romans of Mass Destruction, Volume 1, and my latest, Disciples of Ra, on the past pandemic and specifically, and the health industry in general.
Okay. All right, and today we were going to talk about this guy, the people that, I think the only thing Johnny sees is my face, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
You can use the share screen button on the bottom. You have a bottom panel.
No.
And you
oh,
can
I see. Share.
Click on the share screen button.
Ah, okay.
And then select whatever. This is a learning in progress. Yeah. Nicholas is doing me a huge favor by utilizing Zoom for this. So
but right now I'm having brain overload.
That's okay.
Because learning something new on the fly.
It's okay.
While doing a live broadcast can be difficult. And so anyway,
but not impossible. We've got this.
We're going to start out with David Jeremiah today. Let me see if I can actually share my screen here. And now that's not working. Nothing's happening. So anyway, I have a picture of David Jeremiah. I guess as long as you see my face, I guess that's going to have to be good enough. But the video will be available immediately after the show for everyone who wants to see it.
I'm happy that I can jump in and do a screen share for you real quick.
Oh, just yeah. Let's see if that works. If you could share your screen with us. And
are you seeing David Jeremiah?
Yeah, I see it. And
there we go.
Let me see. I think I can move this screen share over somehow. I don't. Oh, I see it. Just kind of. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not really working quite the way it should, but anyway, that'll be fine. As long as I have you on, even if I just had your voice, we'd be doing good. So anyway, I'm going to let you tell us what you've uncovered or what you've learned about David Jeremiah. We'll start with him, and then maybe we can move on to some other contemporary famous authors that are bewitching the church with their false prophecy. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, oddly enough, I just had a spam phone call come in to interrupt us. I will deal with that. Really weird how that happens. I'm going to go ahead and mark this as spam. Yeah, so for anybody that doesn't know, I am a 20-year military veteran turned investigative journalist because the Lord has a sense of humor. I became a born-again Christian. I was born and raised Roman Catholic, fourth-generation Italian, and I became a born-again Christian in college on January 16th, 1994. My word, it's over 30 years of born-again Christian. I've always known that there's my former church played a key role in both history and prophecy, but I never knew what that was. And then, Nicholas, after decades as a Christian, I still didn't know. Why? Because all of the biggest names in Christianity were simply puppets for the Roman Catholic Church. Particularly where I came to Christ in Calvary Chapel.
Right.
With Chuck Smith, Greg Laurie, and Chuck Missler. Chuck Missler, close friends with late great Planet Earth Hal Lindsey, someone that I hope that we get to today. David Jeremiah, not a lot of contact with David Jeremiah until I had become an established Christian, but all these big names that many of us have been exposed to. Dennis D. James Kennedy, James Dobson, of course, Billy Graham. Charles Stanley, I don't know so much about plagiarism and ghostwriting for Charles Stanley, but obviously anyone that's familiar with Charles Stanley's ministry will know that he had, I believe he's passed and his son has taken over. No idea what the Reformation was. No idea that with the Roman Catholic Church and prophecy, Daniel and Revelation, all of these individuals Marion Gordon, Pat Robertson. The list goes on and on. You name it, Nicholas. Anyone who is big, anyone who is a mega church pastor, Robert Schuller, Mr. Crystal Cathedral, we'll get to him. So let me just ask you, let's just say that you and I aren't horribly shadow banned. We aren't completely suppressed. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that you were allowed to be successful.
Okay, go ahead.
Out of the blue, a publisher comes up and says, you know what, Nicholas? Your name brings people in.
Right.
I have an author that's going to write a book for you. We just want to slap your name on it, and you're going to get the proceeds. And it's going to be a killer book. Trust me. Trust me. Just let me go ahead and put your name on it. And whoever it is, and Thomas Nelson, the great Christian, and Zondervan, any of the great Christian publishers.
You would know that you were talking to someone that's very powerful and has a lot of ears in the world.
If you and I, as sincere Christians, we would say, "What? No, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want you to put my name on something I didn't write, especially when I don't even know what the doctrines are." Well, Nicholas, this is everybody that we just mentioned.
Yeah, well, you know, you would have to at least read it to make sure it aligned with everything that you were saying and you believed.
A sincere Christian, I submit to you, a sincere Christian would not be comfortable with taking false credit, period.
Well, yeah, taking false credit. I mean, but if I mean, I would give a little leeway for someone that was having someone write about their own the words that come out of their mouth, what they actually preach from the pulpit, and
sure,
and helping them do a biography or something, or write on a topic that they're teaching on currently. There might be a little leeway in there, but I pretty much agree with you.
Especially if it's a false doctrine.
Yeah,
now,
definitely false doctrine.
You have to
be
aware of the false doctrine, such as the rapture, Zionism, dispensationalism, all of these Jesuit heresies, which coincidentally were thoroughly enabled by these ghostwriters. David Jeremiah, in particular, had not one, not two, not three, four books ghostwritten by a United Church of Christ female minister who was also homosexual. She went by C.C. Carlson to mask her gender. Her full name, I think she's passed, was Carol Carkeet, C-A-R-K-E-E-T, Carlson, Carol Carkeet Carlson. And of course, the United Church of Christ, extremely left wing, obviously, Carol Carlson, homosexual, and a minister, and a female homosexual, a minister in this religion.
Right.
And she's the one that has ghostwritten for, let me see the list here, besides David Jeremiah. Oh, of course. Listen, she's the one who put Hal Lindsey on the map. She actually wrote The Late Great Planet Earth. What was The Late Great Planet Earth about? All about dispensationalism, pre-tribulation rapture, all these Jesuit heresies. She wrote it for Lindsey. And many of these copies, you won't even see her name. Sometimes you'll see her name in the corner there, C.C. Carlson, Hal Lindsey and C.C. Carlson, David Jeremiah and C.C. But many copies, you won't even see that. They simply give these guys
right.
the credit.
Yeah, I have on the screen here The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And it has the credit as by Hal Lindsey, author, Carol C. Carlson, contributor.
Yeah, no, she's the author.
Yeah.
She wrote it, period. Period. Hal Lindsey didn't have a clue. As a matter of fact, there is, and I'll pull this up for the audience here, Hal Lindsey, late great. I'll give you some images here to look at via Zoom. Once again, thank you very much to Nicholas for using Zoom with me. Okay, you see big bold at the top, Hal Lindsey. Some copies, big bold at the top, Hal Lindsey.
Yeah, I think the pictures you're showing would be at the center of the screen if you took your photo off when you're sharing your screen. I don't know if you can do that or not.
Would the pictures be at the center of the screen?
Yeah, I said they would be if we weren't seeing your face at the same time that you're showing the screen.
Okay, that's just the software on my version of Zoom. You and I are minimized in the upper corner.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's not. It's showing both. So I don't know. I guess I'm supposed to control that here, what I see on this end. But go ahead.
By the way, there's Zoom and then there's OBS. Now for me,
I'm looking at OBS. I'm looking at what the audience is seeing.
Right. So for the way I do this is I'll put, and I'm working with two different screens.
Right.
I'll put Zoom on one screen. I'll have OBS on the other. And then I'll have OBS say, tell me what's on the desktop. And then OBS shows the Zoom.
Right.
By using the function, show me what's on the desktop.
Yeah.
Show me what's on the screen.
Well, I'm picking up the Zoom screen, whatever you send me. Including your picture, but we're just going
to. Okay,
yeah. So.
So let's see here. Hal Lindsey. Oh, right. And I was going to share with you. Let me go back to Hal Lindsey. I've got a folder on all these people. There is a recent. Let me pull this up here. Not recent. How old was this? Let's see here. 2021, relatively recent. A religion writer for Medium.com named Jonathan Poletti. That certainly seems like an Italian name.
Yeah,
I don't, unable to look into the bio of Jonathan Poletti. He is absolutely antagonistic towards evangelical Christianity. He calls it the religion that has been built, easily built. And the big picture here, Nicholas, is, as far as I'm concerned, the Roman Catholic Church sets these frauds up and then in due time examines them, shows you that they're frauds, knocks them down, and who benefits? Rome does. About all these pretenders. See all these Protestant pretenders, Nicholas, that have built you. You need to come home to the Mother Church.
Right. And that's what's going to happen when they start building this this temple thing on the Temple Mount, and the rapture is supposed to happen. Well, when the rapture doesn't happen, then it's going to be come home to Rome. We had the truth. See, the Bible was wrong and everything. That's what they're going to do. And a lot of people are going to fall for it because they're going to all three raptures. You know, there's three raptures, right? A pre-trib, a mid-trib, and a post-trib. Okay.
So, three different ways that they look at it, yes.
Well, no. It's really very clever when you think about it. Now, think about this. Okay, they start building the Temple Mount, the temple on the Temple Mount, right? They have the Abraham Accord now going on the Temple Mount. That's what they're working for. And so the rapture is supposed to happen when they begin that building. Okay, when they have an agreement to go forward with it, and it's going to take 7 years to build, probably coincidentally, for the last week of Daniel being juxtaposed into the future. But when the rapture doesn't happen at the beginning, well, all of the Christians that believe in the rapture doctrine, they're going to go, well, it must be mid-trib. So we have to wait 3.5 years, right? See where I'm going with this? So they keep them hanging on for another 3.5 years. But when 3.5 years go by and they all move to the mid-trib point, they're going to say, well, it must be post-trib. Right? So they keep them hanging on. You see how clever that is? Okay, and then finally, when the 7 years is up and nobody's raptured post-trib either, the Catholic Church will announce that Protestant Bible prophecy was wrong, and we had the correct interpretation all along that the Pope is supposed to rule the world for the post-millennial reign of Christ, and then everyone's going to rush into the Roman Church because, of course, the Protestants and their interpretation of the Bible, which they got from Counter-Reformation Jesuit and has been built upon by Jesuits in following centuries. And then they're going to say, see, we were right all along. But we'll see, what the Antichrist doesn't know is that Jesus is coming back. He's just not coming back on their phony rapture schedule. He will show up later, but this deception is going to, but at the same time, I believe that all of the elect that are caught up in this delusion, they will come to their senses by the end of it, because it's that they would deceive the elect if it were possible. So at some point in this play, when this play begins, the true elect, the true born again church that is deluded right now, will wake up from that delusion and see that they've been deceived all along. What do you think?
It makes perfect sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me as a sucker play. It's the same concept, Nicholas.
Yeah, but that's why I brought it up, because it's the same thing you were saying.
It's a setup. It's an absolute setup. Other people that Carlson has ghostwritten for, Dale Evans, the wife of cowboy Freemason Roy Rogers. She is also ghostwritten for the Christian savior of Jews during World War II, Corrie ten Boom, which is odd. But she has written not just late great Planet Earth, a total of 6 different books for Hal Lindsey.
Yeah, you know, I would be curious, because they're selling it on, it's right now, it's in the top 20 in Bible prophecy on Amazon. And I would wonder how those the money that Amazon collects is being divided between C.C. Carlson Trust and Hal Lindsey Trust. And, you know, right. maybe 50-50, maybe more of it's going to her since she actually wrote it. But they're still making millions. Her estate or whoever's getting the money now, Hal Lindsey's estate or Carol C. Carlson's estate, are getting that money.
Bigger picture, Nicholas, is this: these two didn't come up with this idea themselves.
Oh, of course not. That is
this
the
was
picture.
This was something I above agree. Them. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can get the publisher. Let's see here. The current publisher, all right, originally published in 1970, Zondervan. I think I've got a completely separate file on Zondervan. I might even have some overt Zondervan also publishing Rick Warren.
Mm-hmm. Yes, our Chrislam pastor, Rick Warren.
Listen, that guy, he's more than just Zondervan brutally attacking chick publications.
Of course.
And listed in, where do I have this? This is in patheos.com. Jack Chick's Lies, the real Alberto exposed. Let's see where Zondervan comes in. Absolute controlled. Oh, let's see here. Is this a comment? I've heard that Christian Research Institute, founded by Walter Martin, widely regarded as the foremost evangelical counter-cult specialist, has also done an expose. Rivera, yes. Have you heard that Walter Martin did an expose of Alberto Rivera?
Really? No, I hadn't heard of that.
Christian Reformed Church, Zondervan Publishers, Southern Baptist Society have banned it all from their bookstores. What a surprise. Walter Martin, clearly, Walter Martin never went after the Roman Catholic Church. As the fourth and final beast of Daniel, the whore drunk on the blood of the saints of Revelation. He was an absolute, compromiser is too kind. He was a daughter of the Catholic Church. They made a big show of repeatedly bringing Jesuits on. I forget the name of the Jesuit. I'll bring this up into my files. Arguing over doctrinal issues, salvation of grace versus salvation by works. That is nothing. That is nothing compared to what Rome really is. Exactly what I said. The fourth and final beast of Daniel. The harlot drunk on the blood of the saints of Revelation. That's the Walter Martin, and Christian Research Institute has gone way off base from there when devout Orthodox Hank Henegraaff stole it from Walter Martin. So there were compromises under Martin, and they're just full on. I have an article and I have it primed. Hank Henegraaff, the papal answer man. I don't even know how someone who is such an obvious religionist and a devout member of Orthodoxy can be considered the Snopes of evangelical Christianity. Of course, we know what Snopes is, completely controlled.
Right.
Anyway, absolutely. So that's actually true.
Absolutely.
Many other names in this ghost writing fraud that come up. I want to stay as focused. Really, that's the extent of what I have on David Jeremiah. I went into four different books, ghost written by a United Church of Christ lesbian minister. I wouldn't be comfortable with the bare minimum is I would want nothing to do with that. And do you see how easy, just like you're saying, Nicholas, you downplay, at best you downplay this, at worst you cover it up. Is this not just a scandal waiting to be blown up? And when you look at Hearst, at just the powerful control the Catholic Church has over propaganda, it's tailor-made.
Yeah.
It's tailor-made.
Hey, well, we're going to go into a break here for a few minutes. Thank everybody for showing up. make sure you come back and join me and Johnny in more great conversation, outing the Antichrist. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy. Both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come.
To play this in the background.
God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today.
I'm talking to my
Secrets of the Rapture. Deconstructing pre-tribulation dispensational futurism by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon.
I'm going to start the questions. I'm getting in trouble.
Secrets of the Rapture.
Super Tuesday voters. Everyone, please move this way. Super Tuesday, send you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Get him.
The program you are listening to
is
100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars.
This guy is even more embarrassing as program president.
So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet.
I was running on my audience in the background.
We ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice is
calm
that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving the tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages.
Hey, it's a work in progress. I think this is awesome. I think it's actually worthwhile to
much less than a time so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host. And anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator for His holy nation. The only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay. We're back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we have Johnny who wants to share more with us. I'm sure you can, I guess, unmute.
Thanks, Nicholas. Yeah, so this writer, I put the archive version, medium.com is paywalled. You can sometimes get around a paywall by going to archiving it. And I put that article in both your Odyssey and your Rumble chat, your live stream chat.
Okay.
Listen, when you have something like this, where you have someone who's antagonist, it's still helpful because he's a reasonable journalist. All he's doing is he's knocking down the frauds. But we know they're frauds. The problem is these frauds are projected onto us. In the same way, another metaphor would be Donald Trump, who is a very corrupt individual.
No doubt.
His job is to mimic us on the political right, to be a buffoon. You will never see someone who is rational and balanced, who properly represents either right-minded politics or especially Christian values and right-minded politics anywhere in power. You'll never see them anywhere in power, period. Not in Hollywood, not in media, not in politics. The far left is look, Rome owns the far. Rome governs from the far left. All big money, billionaires, multi-billion-dollar companies, all of it, far left. That's how we can have such unison on the pandemic, such unison on mass crimes like wide open borders. This is true fascism, a cooperative between government and big business. And it's all owned by Catholics and occasionally managed by Jews who are popped up into the spotlight so that we can be distracted.
Yeah, it's called culpable deniability for the Antichrist and the shadow government.
I was doing my background, my homework, and pulling up the bio. Wikipedia is just awful, just horribly biased. How it is that Wikipedia has any reputation whatsoever as being an objective, user-edited online encyclopedia is itself a joke. And pulling up somebody like a recent AI tech bad guy, Yuval Noah Harari, a Jewish Israeli who's also homosexual. So when he comes out and says, we're going to hack the human mind, he is the archetypical boogeyman. He's an academic. He has no power whatsoever.
Right.
He just happens to be a homosexual Jewish Israeli. So we're going to post him up. What is he to any of us? He's nobody. He's nothing.
That's right.
You got somebody like George Soros. I've mentioned this repeatedly. I've got the 60 Minutes clip where 60 Minutes spins him as getting out of the turmoil of World War II by pretending to be Christian. He wasn't pretending to be Christian. He had a Roman Catholic uncle, Hungarian Catholic uncle, that masqueraded him as not being Jewish but Catholic. And he would trail his Roman Catholic uncle and confiscate the property of Jews arrested by the Gestapo. Hmm. And he said he was, I think, 14 at the time. He told 60 Minutes it was the happiest time of his life.
Wow.
And the guy on 60 Minutes is like, are you sure it's for me? And he doubled down. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll show you the clip, except we're having issues with the screen share when we get this ironed out.
Yeah, well, go ahead. I'd like to see that if you have it, Andy.
Sure, sure. You can see it here on Zoom. Let me just take a second to pull it up. So this is, as I'm pulling this up, remember, this is the archetypical Jewish bad guy. And yet, what put him on the map was him being a Nazi collaborator. All right, ready?
Go ahead.
Hang on. Take a minute for the clip to come up. Come on. All right, I'll start it from scratch. Share screen. Back this up.
You're a Hungarian Jew mm-hmm. who escaped the Holocaust mm-hmm. by posing as a Christian.
No, Catholic.
Right. And you watched lots of people get shipped off to the death camps.
Right. I was 14 years old. And I would say that that's when my character was made.
In what way?
That one should think ahead, one should understand and anticipate events, and one is threatened. It was a tremendous threat of evil. I mean, it was a very personal experience of evil.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes, yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years.
I mean, I loved it.
Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child, you don't see the connection. But it created no problem at all.
No feeling of guilt.
No.
For example, that I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go. I could just as easily be there. I should be there. None of that.
Well, of course, I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom the thing is being taken away. But there was no sense that I shouldn't be there, because that was... well, actually, funny way, it's just like in markets, that if I weren't there, of course I wasn't doing it, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow. In other words, whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator, the property was being taken away. So I had no role in taking away that property. So I had no sense of guilt.
No sense of guilt. No guilt whatsoever. Now, Nicholas, is this the arch tip? Is this the guy that the Jewish power structure would really want to be in control of so many things? Or is this the guy that a power structure that hates Jews would put into power to mock Jews, in the same way that Israel is one of the most vaccinated countries anywhere?
Yeah.
That Israeli citizens have to carry around a yellow armband. I mean a green card.
Yeah.
To show that they're vaccinated in order to live their lives in Israel. Who's really running the show? Is it the Jews, or is it a power bigger than the Jews that secretly hates the Jews and is propping them up as targets? I rest my case.
Well, it's obvious to me, and it's obvious to you, and hopefully it'll become obvious to a lot more people.
Dude. That's just one example of many.
Yeah, one of many.
What's important to, when I don't want to digress too much in this Jews versus Jesuits. I want to stay focused on the pretenders of Protestantism, these mega church pastors. But I do want to mention that, listen, it's a powerful tactic of distraction to invoke and evoke emotion. And within our community, Nicholas, the Christian community, you can really rock that pendulum both sides. There are many foolish Christians that feel that love of Jews and Israel is somehow loyalty to Christ.
Yeah.
Because Israel gave us Christ, and Christ was,
that has a lot to do with the dispensational part of the prophecy.
These are Christians that have been bilked by the Roman Catholic Church, by Jesuits. They have apparently never read Romans 9, 10, and 11. They apparently have never read Galatians 3 and 4. That clearly states there is Israel of the flesh, which is bloodline Israel, and then there's Israel of the promise. That's us. That's anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, completely devoid of any bloodline. That is heresy. There is no bloodline that saves. There is no bloodline that condemns.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Hey, let's see if we got a caller here. Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air. Okay. Going, gone. So I have someone that interrupts my show quite frequently. and just calls in and says nothing. So that's why I never know. But go ahead, continue.
I'm just interacting with my chat real quick.
Ah.
So listen, and also, let me ask before we go back to the Protestant pretenders of mega churches. Any Christian that says Genesis 15, there are promises to a people that completely circumvent Jesus Christ and his sacrifice.
Yeah.
Tell me that. Tell me that. And I will tell you that you are blaspheming.
Absolutely.
I will tell you that you're a blasphemer.
I would agree.
Paul says very clearly throughout the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the promise of Abraham.
That's right.
To see one, him.
Yep.
There's no such thing as dispensationalism. There's no such thing as Christian Zionism. It's heretical, and it comes from Rome. Rome fabricated Rome rebirthed Jerusalem so that we could focus on Jerusalem instead of on Rome.
Yeah.
As the fourth and final
place. And they can pull off their Temple Mount play, as we were talking about earlier.
I personally feel, based on, I think it's Galatians 2:18, I personally feel they'll not be able to complete it. I believe Galatians 2:18 says, if I rebuild the things that are torn down, I'm worse than a heretic, something to that effect.
Hmm.
And I think that is a promise that the curse that Christ put on the temple, you don't want me, you don't get the temple either, because the temple was me. I am the temple.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, what they're going to build cannot be a temple. It can be a counterfeit, because all it really will be is a national synagogue, period. They will never get the temple. They will never do animal sacrifices again. Not with the Abraham Accord. If you look at the Abraham Accord, that's the pattern for what and the Vatican is purely behind it. I wrote a book titled The Abraham Accord, and the Vatican shows that the Vatican is clearly behind this movement. And when they do get it on the Temple Mount, they're going to build a Christian cathedral there. They're going to build a Jewish synagogue, and they're going to, well, they already have the Dome of the Rock, but they'll do renovations for the Islam part of the three so-called Abrahamic faiths.
Just so everybody, it's Italian sparkling water, Pellegrino. What's in that? Charlie's drinking. You know what, Nicholas? Unfortunately, that is very plausible.
Yeah.
That is unfortunately very plausible. The bottom line is to bring everyone, the mother of harlotry will still bring everyone underneath her wing. She brags in both, I believe, Revelation and Isaiah that she is no widow. She will have her daughters back. So this same article, and I believe I sent it to you, Evangelicalism is Ghostwritten. Medium.com, Jonathan Poletti. I put this in our chats, and if anybody didn't get it, write me at johnny@johnnysirucci.com. Happy to get it to you. This Jonathan Poletti, who calls evangelical Christianity the religion, says that, and this is not the first time I've seen this, with citation, Billy Graham, at minimum, is only responsible for 15%, maybe less, of the things of the books with his name on them. To include his autobiography, I Am, or something like that.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Even worse, this same author, Jonathan Poletti, has written also a different article about Billy Graham, saying that at best he was an absentee father and husband. And at worst, he would satiate his urges with prostitutes, leaving his wife, Ruth, to languish. They adopted a pretty young girl who wanted to help Ruth write her autobiography. And that pretty young girl turned out to be homosexual. And there are implications that may have than something going on.
Seems to be a theme there, doesn't there?
Yes. 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 Because homosexuality wins across the board for any big player. They wouldn't dare allow sexual deviance, especially for a conservative Christian audience. They will do and say anything, whether it's the FBI or the Roman Catholic Church, whoever it is that is threatening them with blackmail. By the way, they're one and the same. The FBI, Federal Bureau of Inquisition, founded by devout Roman, I mean daily mass Roman Catholic Charles Joseph Bonaparte, great-grandnephew of Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah, and the CIA, Catholics in Action.
Owned by the Roman Catholic Church, founded by DuPont Wall Street lawyer and Knight of Malta, William Mild Bill Dunn. I call him Mild Bill because he has this myth and legend. We could call him Wild Bill. They just have so much love for him. Owned from the beginning. I have a complete dossier on the number of Roman Catholic directors, assistant directors, all throughout both organizations. And then step back and you see the crimes they've committed, from MK Ultra to drug trafficking to child trafficking. Just evil. Evil. I've said this repeatedly. America's worst enemies could only dream of committing the crimes that her own institutions have committed against American citizens. Look at this. This is open source. You can go to Slate Magazine to find out how the CIA, and I believe the FBI as well, implicated in drugging innocent American citizens with LSD to test its effects on mind with utilization for mind control.
Yeah.
That's Slate Magazine. That's not crazy Johnny Cerucci. Okay. Of course, we all know of Gary Webb, the ill-fated reporter for the San Jose Mercury News that broke the story about the CIA funding itself by dumping illicit drugs on city streets. Poor Gary Webb committed suicide by shooting himself in the face twice. I'm making this up. Okay? So, America's institutions owned. What? That's a whole nother show, Nicholas, on how the United States birthed in Maryland, the colony founded by Catholics for Catholics. The White House, called the White House, having nothing to do with its color. It is named after Jesuit priest Andrew White.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Oh, absolutely.
But I know that it was built on Jesuit-owned land. The Capitol was.
Owned by Maryland Sheriff Francis Pope.
Huh.
How about that for Kabbalism? And then Pope Francis did his victory tour in 2015 across September, 23rd, 24th, 25th, welcomed in by Roman Catholic on the left, Nancy Pelosi, invited by both the Democrat and Republican parties. Nancy Pelosi on the left, whose father was a mayor of Baltimore, connected to both the, of course, a devout Catholic, and also the mafia, transplanted to California, where she's been an institution for decades. Oh, talk about homosexuality. Just ask about her very wealthy husband and that incident where he apparently was trying to pay for homosexual sex and instead got beat up, and the police came and beat up the gay prostitute instead. It's just the sexual deviancy is what this system is built on. Not to go too far afield on this, but listen, you're not getting into a position of power unless you were thoroughly owned and blackmailed. You look into the background of like Barack Obama, and you see a lot of disturbing things in relation to him being connected to the CIA, possibly being a drug mule into Pakistan during the 80s. And then there being some concern about whether he was abused by his father. Who was his real father? His father was not,
right.
I forget Obama's
right.
senior's first name. Chances are excellent that his real father was a black communist, Frank Marshall Davis, out of Chicago. And we know for a fact, as admitted by the New York Times, that Obama, what's Obama's claim to fame? A community organizer. Well, that's interesting. Who taught him community organizing? A Jesuit. Sorry. An ex-Jesuit named Greg Galuzzo. And Barack Obama had a homosexual Pakistani roommate in college, I think at Columbia. When he and his mother, also his mother and his grandmother, connected to the CIA by banking. When he was being raised in Indonesia. Everybody knows about the 1 year he spent at a madrasa, but nobody knows about the 4 years he spent in St. Francis of Assisi Catholic School. And how the his nanny, while he was in Indonesia, was transgender. Tell me that's not going to mess you up. So then we have questions about Michelle Obama. What is her sexuality? Is Barack a secret homosexual? What is Michelle Obama? Is Michelle Obama also transgender? You have things like Joan Rivers. Have you seen the Joan Rivers clip? I think I have that too as well.
Why don't we go ahead and show that?
Sure. Joan Rivers talking about Michelle Obama being the first.
It's been a long time. Since
the first transgender it. And within like 2 months of that, Joan Rivers was died by a freak accident visiting the dentist.
Yeah.
I'll play this for you real quick. Let's give it a second to come up. Hang on. Let me share it. Share a screen.
Miss Rivers, how are you? You made a ton of news officiating the wedding in New York yesterday. Is this like a new cottage career move?
I assume some foolish people in New York, where homosexual marriage, quotes, is legal. I assume they had this Jewish comedian officiate a homosexual marriage, because that follows on with this question.
I am so excited. Okay. And I should do very well because I don't choke.
And do you think that the country will see the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
You know Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. It's okay. She doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's okay, huh?
Right. The first gay president is Obama, and the first first lady is Michelle Obama. And listen, and you see how they marketed Michelle Obama. She was so popular, they were going to have her run for president, maybe through to this day. There's still rumblings about Michelle Obama running to be the first female black president. And you see how they're laughing at us if it's true that Michelle Obama is actually transgender.
Well, this is how the Antichrist rules the world, through the money power that he holds.
And listen, this doesn't stop with the Democrat Party.
Yeah, well, I know
the
that.
The same is true.
Yeah.
Much worse. As a matter of fact, Republicans are far worse because they pretend to be moral and upstanding. All the way back through, we had the so-called Franklin cover-up during the 80s and 90s. Targeting the Reagan Bush years, George Herbert Walker Bush, Skull and Bones, 1948, his son George Walker Bush, Skull and Bones, 1968. Why do we have multiple generations of a secret society family running the country? No one else is qualified. The sexual deviancy. Skull and Bones, part of your initiation is to kiss the slippered toe of the Pope. There's all kinds of mythology about beheadings. At one point, they paraded around the severed head of Geronimo. This is because Skull and Bones, secretly tied by the Jesuits through in Johannism. Johannism is an ancient heresy which supplants Jesus as our Messiah, and instead says that John the Baptist was the true Messiah. Jesus is a pretender. And this allowed the Templars, who supposedly believed in Johannism, to spit on the cross and instead to worship John the Baptist. That's why John...
Well, let's get into that a little bit more when we get back from some messages here, Johnny. We're going to take a break right now, everybody. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Get a cup of coffee, whatever you need, and come on back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Okay, we're coming back. All right, we're back. Looks like everything's working good. With Johnny Cerucci on Cross the Border, or Live Prophecy Reality Edition. And maybe we could talk about some things that are going on, current events type things in the news, and get Johnny's take on what in the world's going on with the elections and all that nonsense. Go ahead, Johnny.
Happy to do it. And while you're at it,
go ahead and share whatever, you know, website information. You got a podcast or anything you want to share with the audience. Make sure you do that too.
Thank you, my friend. Happy to do it. You can get any of my 5 books, Illuminati Unmasked, Secret History, Eaters of Children, Romans of Mass Destruction, and Disciples of Ra on Amazon. johnnycirucci.com, johnnycirucci.com is the website. I have channels on Odyssey, either under Johnny Cirucci or Resistance Rising, Odyssey, Rumble, BitChute, Brighteon, and UGTube. I'm not quite sure. I think it's UGTube is how it's pronounced. UGETUB. Yeah, the website and books. I think those are the and the vid channels. Those are the big ones right there. Thank you for letting me to do that, Nicholas. Before I close out these on, I want to wrap this up just to let everybody know. John MacArthur, very wealthy guy, another one who has never heard of. Each one of these people, Dallas Theological Seminary. Don't talk to me about Dallas Theological Seminary. Seminary. First, what is a seminary? Why is it that all of the people that run our pulpits have to have special training before they're allowed to pastor, shepherd our churches? What does that guarantee? It guarantees the same level of corruption as the medical industry. You must first be indoctrinated. As a quick aside, by the way, that's what doctor means. It means a propagandist. Docere, to propagandize, has nothing to do with healing. It's a choke point. You have to go through this system. And when you go through this system, you become corrupted. How many doctors have practical experience healing people? They don't. All they do is read textbooks, and they have to put themselves massively in debt to do that. Same thing with these pastors. How it is, Nicholas, how is it possible that 98-99% of Christian fundamentalist evangelical pastors are in lockstep with Jesuit heresy? They have no idea who the Antichrist is.
Yeah, well, the Jesuits are the world's educators, are they not?
Absolutely.
Ratio studiorum. There you go.
Absolutely. And this is, they either directly incognito are our pastors, or indirectly they have educated and indoctrinated our pastors so that things that were fact 500 years ago by men that Knox, Calvin, Zwingli, Martin Luther, generations before, Jan Hus, John Wycliffe, many of these brave men, John Rogers, Thomas Cranmer, gave their lives, were murdered by the Roman Catholic Church. These were all men who unanimously called the Catholic Church, the fourth and final beast of Daniel, the great harlot drunk on the blood of the saints of Revelation. You cannot read Revelation 17 and not connect clothed in scarlet and purple. No entity has mass murdered more Christians, has done more to suppress the word of God than the sovereign city-state of Rome. You put together religious Rome and military Rome, no entity in human history has done more to murder Christians and suppress the word of God than the sovereign city state of Rome. That's how right. It is that 99% of supposed Protestant Christian pastors completely avoid this is just a satanic victory of untold proportions.
Yes,
of the Roman Catholic Church, an absolute victory. So all of these guys, John MacArthur, multimillionaire John MacArthur, the list of pretenders includes, I believe, all obviously Rick Warren, James Dobson, D. James Kennedy. Let's see. I actually have a running list of those who were ghostwritten, although I don't remember where I filed it. Anyway, I'll pull it up next break. But I just wanted to make sure we close that out. And, of course, Robert Schuller, the Crystal Cathedral. You know who runs the Crystal Cathedral now?
Yeah.
The Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange County.
Right.
They bought it back.
Yeah.
It was rumored that Robert Schuller needed permission from the Catholic Church to build the Crystal Cathedral, which is in and of itself, it was a complete and total farce. Guys like Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn, who was recently invited, pull this picture up, did a papal mass while he was in Rome. He had an illicit adulterous affair with Paula White, an evangelical preacher that is in close with
that makes sense.
Help lay hands on Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Benny Hinn actually has a very long Roman Catholic pedigree, starting with Catherine Kuhlman.
Kenneth Copeland. Just keep naming them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, huge. They set these frauds up to knock them down. Another progenitor. Let's see here. Benny Hinn. He also is... Oh, it looks like Benny Hinn also Jesuit. No, I'm sorry. Born on Francis Xavier's death of December 3rd. What did I have? Catholic mystic... There is another. William Marion Branham. It's probably pronounced Branham. Born and raised Roman Catholic, became a mystic healer. He was idolized by Benny Hinn. So, and I have this. Let's see here if I've got the Benny Hinn. Oh, you'll never guess who Benny Hinn was sitting next to in his papal mass. None other than former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, who is a converted Roman Catholic.
No surprise there.
Newt's wife, Callista, is like third or fourth wife, Callista, hyper-devout Roman Catholic. She's not seen here in this picture during their papal mass because she's in the papal choir. And I don't remember which president. One president... made Callista Gingrich a Vatican ambassador? I got to look that up real quick. But listen, the Roman Catholic Church, particularly in Speaker of the House, just owns and dominated. Hey, it was Donald Trump. It was Protestant, conservative, patriot Donald Trump that made devout Roman Catholic Callista Gingrich.
Well, I would never call Donald Trump a Protestant in the true sense of protesting the Antichrist, because that's where the name Protestant comes from. So we have a lot of pinos out there, Protestant name only, and they're even throwing off the name Protestant. They just use evangelical now. They don't even like the name Protestant because the Jesuits don't like it. Right. They hate Protestant. That's what the whole Counter-Reformation was about, ridding itself in the world of Protestantism, true Protestantism, that is.
Absolutely. Listen, it goes much deeper than that. Like we were saying earlier, you're not going to get close to power unless you're thoroughly compromised. Unless you're thoroughly compromised. And
absolutely.
I apologize for this. I know this is a family show. Let me just say, put this in to a search engine. Oh, by the way, Google is not a verb. Google is the premier search engine. It owns technology. And look up the birthday of Google. Surprise, surprise. 27 September. The same as the birthday of the Jesuits.
Huh.
Google owns information.
Yeah.
Put into any internet search engine, Donald Trump, daughter Ivanka Trump, inappropriate. Just say that, okay? Put that into a search engine, and you will have an idea of the level of corruption and blackmail involved. So people who are stumping for Donald Trump is a despicable individual. He has said and done things no Christian in their right mind should be backing. Just on the surface, we'll look past at the guy being a puppet. We'll look past at the guy being a pawn in a much bigger game. Do I need to remind anybody that has problems with the coronavirus vaccine? Do you forget who brought you with Operation Warp Speed, the coronavirus vaccine? You forget who brought that to you?
Well, there is no choice when it comes to president. There's no good choice.
Darnell telling me in the chat, Trump's pastor, Norman Vincent Peale, is Peale still alive? Freemason, I know that...
Yeah, he was his pastor.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a great connection. Both you guys. Darnell is just absolutely on fire. Freemason Norman Vincent Peale. Open. I don't think open Freemason. Also the godfather of Billy Graham, right? Anyway, look, you're not getting anywhere close to power unless you're thoroughly compromised. Thoroughly compromised. One of the things that I was showing my audience during the commercial break was the outing of the power structure in New York City. The mayor, Eric Adams, the police commissioner, Edward Caban, and the police chief, Jeffrey Madre, not McAudrey, Jeffrey Madre, M-A-D-D-R-E-Y. All three of them being outed by major sources, including the New York Post, as Freemasons. Now, I thought this was a secret organization. If it's so secret, this is, by the way, a public release. It was a public press release. Why is Freemasonry bragging about all of the law enforcement and power in New York City having a conflict of interest with the secret society? I submit to you, supposedly they're both. Now, Freemasonry is very racist, or used to be overtly very racist.
Right.
Anyone who wasn't white had to be a Prince Hall Freemason. Now, supposedly, these three are both Prince Hall and Scottish Rite. I guess, as I like to joke on my show, they sit at the kiddie table, but they're also allowed to sit at the adult table as well. And even though they're supposedly allowed to sit at the adult table at Scottish Rite, you have major press releases. These guys are being set up as targets. There are many, many more corrupt, controlled criminals that you don't get a press release on.
What do you mean? They're being set up as targets?
As a distraction. So,
oh, okay.
Ultimately, Freemasonry, and her Jesuit masters.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
They're ultimately extremely racist, and they're throwing out these non-whites.
Or as I was saying, culpable deniability.
Sure. Yes.
For the Antichrist.
Absolutely. Go after these guys, and it's New York City.
Yeah.
Okay. Powerful, yes. Huge international players, no. So we'll throw that out there as a distraction. These three non-whites are expendable. Nothing's going to happen to them anyway. They're not going to get that. Madre is embroiled in controversy, sexual harassment, personal favors.
Yeah, they all are. They're all very corrupted, and they've been corrupted by money. And the money power is from the Vatican that corrupts them. That's the only way the Antichrist can rule, is through corruption. He has no other way. He can't rule by good because it's a corrupt tree. When the reformers found out, when Martin Luther discovered that the church was and the papacy was irreformable, that's when the protests began.
In Luther's, let me see if I have this, Luther's letter to the German aristocracy, he called, and I'm, Christian nobility is, are the words he used.
Right.
An open letter to Christian nobility. His words, the reformation of Christianity. I love that. I love that changing and rebranding through his own process. And Luther is far from perfect. As far as I'm concerned, he absolutely betrayed the peasants. He freed them from spiritual slavery and then condemned them to be slaughtered during the peasant revolt of 1525, when he thoroughly threw in with the aristocracy and said, slay these rebellious dogs in open or in secret. Whoa, really? So he's far from perfect, but he absolutely was a key seminal player in a revolution. And just as I'm saying here.
And it was quite by accident. He never really intended for anything that happened to happen. But it was God's accident.
He did not intend.
No.
He posted his 95 theses in relation to indulgences, papal indulgences. He posted them in Latin.
Well, and more than that, if you probably read the whole document, right?
Yes, the 95 theses. I don't have it committed to memory, but I have read them all.
That he even said of himself, he said in the beginning, he was a mad papist. He was still a mad papist when he wrote that document. He thought he could reform the Catholic Church. But
oh, absolutely.
And then something else happened instead.
Listen, the best reformer Rome ever had was Girolamo Savonarola.
Ah, Savonarola.
And you know what the Inquisition did to him?
Right.
They tortured him basically to death. Repeatedly ripped his arms out of his sockets and put them back in and ripped them out again until he lost the functionality of his left arm. He sincerely wanted to reform the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And they tortured him to death. He was the greatest reformer that there ever was in Catholicism.
Well, yeah, he paid with his life, though. Definitely.
And he paid with his life. There is no reforming. There is no reforming.
That's
the
right.
The blood that is on the hands, there's only one thing left to do, and that's Revelation 18. That is for the great harlot to drink twice from the cup that she has sown, and she will.
Yeah, it's coming. According to what scripture we have left to play out before Christ returns, the harlot is going to be punished. She's going to be raised to the ground. And it says that the 10 horns of the beast power, meaning Western Europe, they're going to discover. I mean, they're getting angry right now. All the people of Western Europe are getting very angry right now. They don't know who to blame. But obviously, it seems clear that at some point, they're going to discover who has been behind it all. And when that happens, look out, because it says that God puts it into their minds and their heart to do his bidding and destroy the harlot and erase her from the face of the earth.
The beast that she rides, I am convinced, is the United States is going to turn on her, tear her flesh, and burn her with fire. And by the way, I'm going to throw something at you, Nicholas. I think the 10 horns, kings without kingdoms, those are Jesuit provincials.
Yeah.
The vast majority of information and ammunition we've gotten on the Jesuits and Roman Catholic Church has come from Jesuits.
Well, I'm going to send you my thesis on the Revelation. And it's very thoroughly. I've studied for 20 years on this, on the Revelation. And I think I've got it about as far as any man can get into it and got it as correct as any man can. I'll send you my thesis and you can look it over.
Sounds good, bud. All right. Do you want
to just email me your address to mail where I can mail it to you?
Sure, sure. And a reminder for the audience, it's johnny@johnnycerucci.com. You want to stay with current events?
Well, what do you got in mind? We got a whole another segment coming up.
Oh, let's see. Let me know when you got to go for your break. How much time for the break?
We got about 5 minutes.
Okay, so everybody's familiar with, not everybody, but many people are familiar with the John Birch Society, founded by Robert Welch, as a reaction to the infiltration of communism. Just like the Christian Research Institute, you had papal compromiser Walter Martin, but it wasn't nearly as reliable to the Vatican until devout Orthodox Hank Henegraaff stole it from Walter Martin. Just asked Walter Martin's widow whether or not his daughter, Walter Martin's daughter. They're all unanimous on how this guy still represents the Christian Research Institute. There are people who are huge Walter Martin fans who never raise an issue about Hank Henegraaff and whether or not he's worth it. And of course, Hank Henegraaff knows nothing about the Roman Catholic Church being the great whore of Babylon, drunk in the blood of the saints. That's because Orthodoxy is the other leg of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. of iron in Daniel chapter 2. There are a lot of distractions, especially in Catholicism. Roman Catholics cannot acknowledge, or else they'll leave. They cannot acknowledge that the Catholic Church is what we've been saying.
Yeah.
The fourth and final beast of Daniel, particularly Daniel chapter 7, and the great harlot drunk on the blood of the saints of Revelation, especially Revelation 17.
Yes, definitely.
All throughout Revelation, Revelation 13, 17, 18, 20, all throughout Revelation. It's Rome. But I've seen numbers as big as 2 billion, supposedly. The Roman Catholic Church, especially the Jesuit-run Roman Catholic Church, cannot afford to allow right-wing Christians, I jokingly call them Catholics, right-wing Catholics, to leave Catholicism. I call them Latin Mass Catholics because they say, oh, if we could just go right before Vatican II, everything would be okay.
Yep.
Really? Well, who wrote Vatican II? It was a Jesuit and an inquisitor. As a matter of fact, the ultimate inquisitor, Joseph Ratzinger, who at the bare minimum, his own brother has been implicated in homosexual pedophilia, pederasty, going after choir boys. And Ratzinger was the prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, which is modern Inquisition. The Inquisition never went away, guys. The Inquisition never went away. Came the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it.
Joseph Ratzinger was the prefect for the Congregation. He ran the Inquisition. He also co-wrote Vatican II with Jesuit, plainclothes, non-collar-wearing Jesuit Karl Rahner, who was as openly admitted to keep a mistress on the side. We'll just wink at that.
Well, heaven only knows. And he was a Nazi youth. What were they called?
Ratzinger, absolutely.
Yeah, Ratzinger.
Absolutely, Ratzinger, yes, Nazi youth. Check, how many boxes can we check for Pope Benedict XIII? And we still made him step down so that an actual Jesuit could step up in his place. Yep. So they cannot afford to allow, so they have to have distractions, Nicholas. They want to blame Jews. They want to blame Freemasons. They want to blame communists. Everything was great until fill in the blank.
And the Jews Rothschild took over bankers and, the Illuminati.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
All these distractions.
Anybody but who is really at the top.
Absolutely. Particularly another huge one. The Red Scare of the what era? The McCarthy era?
Oh, yeah.
Who was Joseph McCarthy? An Irish Roman Catholic? Who was behind Joseph McCarthy? A Jesuit, not just any Jesuit, one of the most powerful Jesuits in history, Edmund Walsh, who was personally responsible for, along with his superior general, Polish Władimir Ledakowski, during World War II, to help fabricate both the Soviet Communist Red Revolution, Ledakowski operating out of Russia, as well as the Nazi Third Reich. They created the Cold War. They created World War II. And they created the Cold War. And then the Shriner Freemason, Franklin Roosevelt, sent Edmund Walsh as a United States Army officer to Nuremberg to scrub Nuremberg documents to make sure no one knew how the Roman Catholic Church was behind the Third Reich.
Absolutely.
He stood side by side with generational political power family, the Dodds. Thomas Dodd, Connecticut, I want to say both a senator and a congressman. His son, Christopher Dodd, behind the abomination that was the housing bubble, side by side with Jewish homosexual Barney Frank, the two of them should both be in prison or worse for what they did, the crimes they did. And instead, Christopher Dodd retired. Where? To become president of the Motion Picture Association. Isn't that weird? How is it? I thought it was the Jews that run Hollywood. No. What is the Hollywood Motion Picture Production Code? Who wrote that? Hollard Jesuit Daniel Aloysius Lord. Well, Hollard.
No surprises there. And we're going to go into that break now. final break and final segment coming up. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice of cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by seven years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using scripture to interpret scripture. The Bible says no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Okay, we're back. My guest is Johnny Cerucci, and been busy during the break, so I forgot where we left off, Johnny.
Sure. No, we were talking about, and I was going to give you a photograph. We were talking about Nuremberg and World War II, and let's see here. Oh, here we are. This is great. Let me show you. This is... I think he was a senator at the time in an army, United States Army uniform. Jesuit priest Edmund Walsh, army officer, Jesuit priest Edmund Walsh standing with, again, let's just say legislator, because I can't remember at this time. I think he was Connecticut Senator Thomas Dodd. Oh, real quick. The 1968 Gun Control Act, which was rammed through Congress on the excuse of it'll stop. Of course, the Roman Catholic Church is who slaughtered sitting Catholic President John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
They rode that. They murdered Kennedy, and then they turned around and blamed guns. They turned around and blamed ridiculous that Lee Harvey Oswald, Marine Corps veteran and intelligence asset, not read in, who in the heat of the Cold War went to the Soviet Union, picked up a bride from an army intelligence colonel, and brought her back.
Oh, bride, huh?
Without a problem. Marina, I think her first name was. Without a problem. How is that possible in the heat of the Cold War?
Hmm.
Unless you yourself are an intelligence asset, by the way. So
would seem that way.
Thomas Dodd used the ridiculous idea that Oswald utilized a World War One technology. What was it? A 6.5 millimeter bolt action Carcano rifle from over 200 yards away. Was it like 6 shots in 8 seconds? Some ridiculous feat that is impossible to conduct. And supposedly Oswald bought this rifle in the mail. And this was part of the ridiculous idea that got the 1968 Gun Control Act passed. Well, no one knows. No one's heard of this. Thomas Dodd, far left, Roman Catholic. He's a good FBI Nazi hunter, Thomas Dodd was. Thomas Dodd took the 1968 United States Gun Control Act word for word from the 1938 Nazi Gun Control Act.
Yes, I've heard that before.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. Here he is standing with Jesuit priest Edmund Walsh at Nuremberg, arriving in Nuremberg, courtesy of the United States taxpayer. Hmm. Edmund Walsh in a United States Army uniform. Okay?
Yeah.
Examples of organizations that were not dangerous to the Catholic Church that were just stolen by the Catholic Church to become much more useful to them. The John Birch Society, John McManus, hyper-devout Jesuit-trained, Holy Cross Jesuit-trained Roman Catholic, stole the Birch Society from Robert Welch. Christian Research Institute, we mentioned. Another organization just came to mind off the top of my head, Breitbart.com, Jewish conservative Andrew Breitbart, not a particular danger to the machine. He was dancing around child trafficking issues, making jokes, ping-pong jokes.
Hmm.
Around the election, was it, I think, the candidacy of Hillary Clinton? Anyway,
I never got into Breitbart. I've heard of it, but most of these guys you're naming, I've never even looked into or listened to.
That's okay, because it's basically propaganda. What the purpose of, particularly news and news websites like Fox News, we jokingly here at Team Cerucci call it Guy Fawkes News.
Hmm.
Knight of Malta, Rupert Murdoch. The number of anchors on Fox News, I had a running list. I'll pull it up. Who are female, blonde, and Catholic is just shocking. But Breitbart taken over after Andrew's unfortunate heart attack by Stephen Kevin Bannon, Jesuit trained Goldman Sachs Roman Catholic Stephen Kevin Bannon, who was instrumental in the election. In fact, I think he ran the Donald Trump candidacy. So just another example of an organization that was taken over when Andrew Breitbart had his unfortunate heart attack. Jesuit bankster Stephen Bannon stepped in happily to take over Breitbart.com. So just a couple of examples of going from not threatening to the Catholic Church to extremely useful to the Catholic Church. Let me go back into my plagiarist files. What else do we have? Oh, look, any of the big names right now. Look at a guy like Jordan Peterson. I've got videos I've been playing for my audience. Huge. The guy's, I want to say, he's 8 million subscribers on YouTube. Huge. Well, what is Jordan Peterson? Jordan Peterson is a
I can hardly go on YouTube without getting a strike. We're not on YouTube today because we would likely get a strike for something.
Oh, absolutely. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. Jordan Peterson, a Canadian academic, seemingly conservative and libertarian on many topics, very unusual for academia. Well, turns out that his wife is now a hyper-devout Roman Catholic, and she believes that Catholicism saved her from cancer.
Yeah. Hmm.
So now Jordan Peterson regularly doing videos with
that doesn't
Roman
surprise
Catholic,
me at all. Yeah.
Regularly doing videos with Roman Catholic Bishop Robert Barron. We jokingly call him Robert Barron.
I would say Jordan Peterson is very Catholic.
He is, and he's not openly so. He told
and by the things he says, yeah, he's definitely, I would identify him as a Roman Catholic. Typical.
And interestingly enough, you might as well, because we have this, we call it Jesidu, Nicholas. Someone that has a spouse that is hyper devout. Hey, here's another one. Candace Owens. She's not Catholic, and yet,
yeah,
she openly says she is constant. She's been pregnant for 3 years. She jokes. She's been pregnant for 3 years. Why? Her white husband is a hyper devout Roman Catholic.
Yeah, I've heard
and
that.
They do not believe in birth control. And Candace Owens, who is not Catholic, does whatever her devout white Catholic husband says, to include being constantly pregnant for 3 years, and she jokes about it. She's happy with it. So this is an example of another one. This was hidden on by us. You got a guy like the Speaker of the House. Goodness. I'm sorry, not Speaker of the House.
Johnson, Mike Johnson?
No, Senate.
Oh, Senate.
Mitch McConnell.
Okay. Yeah.
And he married into a drug-running Chinese Catholic family.
There you go.
The Chows. Married into a drug-running Catholic Chinese family, the Chows. Elaine Chao, also a very powerful. As a matter of fact, I think that that Donald Trump gave her a cabinet position as well.
I think that's true, yeah. Also, you affirm that the Jesuits pretty much run China, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the first things that happened, as a matter of fact, it was co-founder Francis Xavier's dream to get into China, and he never made it. He died in Japan instead. But Matteo Ricci, who we believe
right.
is related to
another Ricci,
Superior General Lorenzo Ricci, is just institutional. Matteo Ricci, the Jesuit, institutional in China, gave the Chinese emperor his calendar, explained the stars. He was the royal astronomer and gave them their calendar. The Jesuits own communist China.
Absolutely.
And
people can't believe it. They just cannot believe it. That the Jesuits own Washington, D.C., too. Have you read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil?
I absolutely, I repeatedly recommend Frederick Tupper Saucy III's Rulers of Evil. It is an absolute must.
Absolutely.
And here's a caveat. My team and I, we found that his grandfather was a Freemason.
Whose grandfather?
Saucy.
Okay, Saucy's. Okay.
Saucy number one. Frederick Tupper Saucy number one was a Freemasonic lawyer. His tombstone calls him an author and misspells the word author, which is an absolute Gnostic tell. there is very little. At one point in Rules of Evil, he says, listen, don't judge the Jesuits too harshly. They are ordained by God to do what they're doing. And you got to step back. What are you talking about? Over and above, Rulers of Evil is an absolute must. An absolute must. Just things there are factual there. He destroys the Rothschilds better than anybody.
Yeah.
So many great things. Listen, when I talk about how the United States was founded as the sword arm for the Roman Catholic Church, Frederick Tupper Saucy, Rulers of Evil, is a number one source on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
On Superior General Lorenzo Ricci being the mysterious Revolutionary War figure, the professor. Tupper Saucy and Rulers of Evil. Absolute must. Great source. I regularly have to reread it. Thoroughly highlighted.
Yeah,
I've read it.
I've read it twice myself, and I know I will read it again. Toward the end, he gets off in this Sons of Cain or Cain thing. But other than that, the book is excellent.
I feel that his information, he's an insider. I feel that somehow he was put on to this incredible information that he gave us. And it's just exactly what I was telling you earlier.
Yeah, where did he go when he was on the lam? When he wrote
was
the book.
Was it France?
F. Tupper Saucy. Because he was on the lam. He went to France?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so I don't know for sure, but that's a great question. That's a great question. Yeah. He hid. He was never arrested. How did he get away from the law?
Yeah.
Good for you. Good question.
But yeah, definitely a must read for everyone out there. And they can go to my website, crossborder.org, on my Bible studies page. I have links to, and F. Tupper Saucy's book is linked there, so you can read it on a PDF on your computer for free. Absolutely.
Outstanding. There is a Chinese real estate mogul named Gao Wengui. If I'm saying that, pronounce that, my Mandarin is not that good. Gao Wengui, who is also a good friend of late Jesuit bankster Steve Bannon, who outed the Catholic Church as giving $2 billion a year in Peter's Pence tribute to the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes,
Communist China.
Right. Yeah, I have heard that. I've shared that on my broadcast before. Hey, Johnny. We're getting to the close of the broadcast, so why don't you share your information one more time? Hopefully we'll get together again regularly, maybe every 6 weeks or something. We'll see what happens. And we'll talk about topics before we get on. And because I would like to talk more about the China connection, the Jesuits, how they're infiltrated into the governments throughout the world, including Washington, D.C. I think that's a great topic, and you seem like you have much knowledge about that. So go ahead and share your information.
Happy to do it, my friend. Let me know ahead of time. The more time you can let me know ahead is the more I can study and have these names, places, and dates ready to go for the show. Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, Cirucci, C-I-R-U-C-C-I. You can write me, johnny@johnnycirucci.com. The website is johnnycirucci.com. And the 5 books all available so far on CIA-dominated, owned Amazon. Illuminati of Mass, Secret History, Eaters of Children, Romans of Mass Destruction, and the one on health and pandemics, Disciples of Ra, Odyssey, Rumble, BitChute, Brighteon, UgTube, Resistance Rising, or Johnny Cirucci. Hopefully you'll be able to find me. I maintain a Twitter X, and I maintain a meta Facebook. You may not be able to find me, but look Johnny Cirucci, look Resistance Rising, and they should come up. And I do have a contact page where most of those links are on the contact page at johnnycirucci.com. So, Nicholas, it was an absolute thrill to get back with you and to collaborate. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Okay, Johnny. Thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Be blessed, brother.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, that's Johnny. Very knowledgeable, and very opinionated, of course. That comes with, it's part of the wheelhouse. And he's written many books, not on the Bible, but on the things that, as you can see, he's talking about history and the history of the Vatican, the Jesuits, and things like that. I got some negative comments here in the chat room. I was looking at, who was this, Jesuit Fiends, and our good friend Jesuit Fiends in the chat room, says, why is this agent of Satan and Judas Goat? Giovanni Augusto Johnny Cerucci here. How deceived are you, Nicholas? Well, educate me, you know. If there's some reason I should not have Johnny on, then I need that information. So, come on out with it. Yeah. Let's see. Am I going out on the air all right? It looks like everything's still working good throughout the whole broadcast. So anyway, how many people out there want Jesuit Fiends to come on the broadcast with me? You can come on tonight. I don't know if what you're doing at at 9 p.m. Pacific time, or where are you, WW? Are you on the West Coast or the East Coast or somewhere in between? If you can come on tonight or one night this week, you can be my guest for a half hour, an hour, and let me know what you're getting at here, because you're saying something to me, but I'm not getting any concrete information, any links or anything to substantiate. So I definitely need to be educated if I've missed something here. I've had Johnny on before, for a short while on First Amendment Radio before. And, well, pretty much the same thing as what you've heard. I've never read any of his books, honestly. He's never sent me any to read. And, I don't have a budget to buy books that are not in my wheelhouse, really. So if you can come up with something and let me know, I would appreciate it. Jesuit Fiends in the chat room. So I'll be looking forward to your, I did private message, Jesuit Fiends, and hopefully he'll get back with me on that. Okay, any other things in the chat room? Just greetings and from Stephen and WW, saying hello to everybody. Let's see. And WW says, replace Giovanni Guest with Jesuit Fiend Guest. I absolutely would like to do that. And I'm not looking, I'm only looking at the First Amendment Radio .net /chat today. If anyone wants to contact me, there's that number, the text number there. And the text number is also, oh, it's not on that page. I'll have to put it on the chat page. I believe it's on the Mobi chat page if you're logged in on our mobile chat, which it looks like someone from Denver is logged in on the mobile chat, but everyone else is on the computer type chat. So, okay, so next week we're going to carry on our theme of outing the false prophets. I'm pretty much done with David Jeremiah. We're going to take another look. We're going to take a look at some more of the top, those in the top 10 first, and other rising stars in the bestsellers in Christian prophecy. Let's see. We got a minute. We can take a call. Let's see who we have here. Your name and where you're calling from? Okay, well, that's three times this broadcast for a ghost caller who has nothing to say at all. WW says, audio, video, good. Everyone needs to have the conversation, says Stephen. And yeah, I agree. Like I said, come on, Jesuit Fiends. You've got an opinion. You think I need to hear about it? Then if you convince me, I'll never have Johnny on again. How's that? But I need to be convinced that there's something there that I've that's not obvious to me from just listening to him for the last hour and a half. Okay. So when we're going to look at, who should we pick? David Jeremiah is in the top. We've already picked on him. Looks like John MacArthur's number four now, Because the Time is Near. Is this his new book or is this an old book? I don't know, but it made it to number four. We have The End. I don't know who Christian Widener is. Daniel 77's. But I'm certain this is, let me see. Let me look at it. Daniel 77's and The Final Decree. Everyone missed. Yes, 2,000 years ago, proof that Jesus soon returned is overwhelming. But if you think it's what you heard, believe me, you've never before seen breakthroughs this stunning. Beyond amazing, the timely. Huh. Well, that's got a couple of new books that have popped up on the top, in the top 10 here on Christian prophecies. So I'll look into them and see what we got here. This one's got to be new. It's only got 17 ratings, so it might be a flash in the pan. But he has 2027, and solve the enigma of the temple location in Jerusalem, has made another mind-blowing discovery. And I'll have to look into this guy. So we got plenty to pick on. So make sure you come back next week and see what we end up with. Also, your suggestions, comments, questions. Now I can get guests on Zoom and Skype. And we see it works a little rough, but not bad. I went pretty good. And easier as I get used to doing that. And especially WW. Everybody, not WW, his suggestion that I have Jesuit Fiends on. So definitely want Jesuit Fiends to come on the air and join me either during the week and my nightly broadcast. All you guys that know, I'm doing a broadcast almost every night on First Amendment Radio here. It's Far Out with Nick at Night. That would be me. And I just get on current events, topics. I see where it goes in the chat room. It's kind of more a hangout, you know, low-key, informal thing. Because I don't practice. I don't prepare for it all. I do have news things and items that I can talk about lined up just to fill the time. But I'm just hoping more people will participate. And I'm going to try to do that. I'm learning how to use Zoom so that I can invite people and people can just come on without any warning and come on air with me. So I'm trying to work on that and see how I can make that work. So if you want to come on, have a impromptu debate over some topic or something, or you want to suggest a debate, two people want to come on and debate during my broadcast, let me know ahead of time. We'll set up the Zoom call and you guys can come on and let your voice be heard on First Amendment Radio. And we have it. We're at least 10. when I come on at night, I go on. And I can come on your channel, too. I can add your channel to our split stream, our live push, our split stream software here. I can put, I have like 10 that I go on at night. And during the day, First Amendment Radio is usually only on 4 channels, but more than that when I do my live broadcast. And we have run out of time, so I'm just going to leave you all with this. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.
Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it? Working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand